The readings for this Sunday. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful. But to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day. But neither do I judge my own self, for I am not conscious to myself of anything, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge not before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise from God. Please stand for today's gospel, which is taken from that of St. Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of Iturea, and the country of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, under the high priest Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the sayings of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Those are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. Bring forth fruit worthy of penance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, today for the last time we hear the voice of our great Advent preacher, St. John the Baptist. If we continue this passage of St. Luke, from which we have today's Gospel, we read St. John, we hear St. John telling us to bring forth fruit worthy of penance. And these words should make us reflect, have I brought forth fruit worthy of the sacrament of penance? When I go to confession, is it profiting my soul? Am I making progress? Or unfortunately, when I make my frequent confessions, is my soul just remaining in the same state, stagnating? And unfortunately, the sad reality is that the reception of the sacrament of penance, it often doesn't bring forth very much fruit. And there are many reasons for that. But one which we can consider today in light of St. John the Baptist preaching about penance, one that we can reflect on, one of these causes of confessions that aren't very fruitful, is the fact that we don't perform the penance the priest gives us very well. The penance the priest gives us in confession, three Hail Marys, a litany, a rosary, that is what we call sacramental satisfaction. And this sacramental satisfaction, it's one of the three things that are absolutely necessary for the sacrament of confession. If it's not there, it would not be a valid confession. If the willingness to say it isn't there, it would be a bad confession. And if we look at the practice of the Church throughout history, we see quite a drastic change in the way she has approached the giving of penance. In the early Church, as we know, very serious penances were given. Penances like pilgrimages or long fasts. And the person had to perform these penances before they could even receive absolution. Only once they had done so that would the priest give absolution. The current practice of the Church is quite different. It's very, very, what we have to do is very, very light. It's very simple. The priest will give usually just some devotions to say. And then after he's assigned that, before we've even performed it, he'll give absolution. So it's much simpler. And it begs the question, with these slight penances, Are we doing, is it adequate? Is it enough to satisfy for our sins? And the answer, quite simply, is no, it's not. But we have to understand that in the right way. It is and it isn't. So satisfaction, the idea behind that, satisfaction means that we're repairing for an offense. We're repairing it completely and entirely. But we know that that any human being, a sinful creature, can't satisfy for sin, because sin offends an infinitely good God. And so in that sense, we can never adequately make satisfaction to God. And that's exactly why our Lord is coming at Christmas. He is coming so he can take on himself the flesh which he will allow to undergo the torments of the passion and the crucifixion, so that he can make satisfaction, a perfect satisfaction. So when we go to confession and we receive a penance, the reason that it's adequate is simply because we unite that little penance we do to the satisfaction of Christ in his passion and death. And then it's adequate. Then it does satisfy the justice of God and does make up for our sins. It's only if it's united to the satisfaction of Christ on the cross. And so whether it's a tremendous penance like a pilgrimage or a little penance like a few Hail Marys, its value essentially comes from the fact that it's united to our Lord's satisfaction on the cross. But it would be very wrong of us to think that, well, then it doesn't really matter so much. We can just be content with light penances, even if they're poorly performed, because really we just unite it to our Lord's, and then it's fine. That would be very wrong of us to think. It's true that in the sacrament of penance, our Lord is doing 9/10 of the work for us. But he leaves 1/10 of the work for us, and he does that because he has to. By the very nature of sin and having sin, the effects of sin reversed, he has to leave some of the work to us. He can't do everything. Yes, sin is a choice that we make. When we sin, we are choosing, we are using our free will. And we do two things. We use our free will first to turn from God. And at the same time, it's the second thing we do, we turn towards a creature inordinately. We look for our happiness in a creature in an unlawful way. So it's a turning from God and a turning towards a creature. And in undoing this evil, this disorder of sin, our will has to have a part. Since it's our will that turned away from God and towards a creature, when we are trying to repair for that, our will has to have a part. And that's why that 1/10 is left to us by our Lord, because we have to exercise our will to turn it back towards God. And we do that by our contrition, that sorrow we have for our sins. That turns us back towards God. But that contrition has a natural expression in penance, to do something to satisfy. We have overindulged. We've turned inordinately to a creature. And so now to turn our will back to God, we purposely deny ourselves some pleasure from a creature, some legitimate pleasure from a creature. We give some of our time. We say an extra prayer. And so in that, our will, it's turning back towards God. That's the 10th part that we have to do, that our Lord cannot do for us, because he won't force our will. Father Robinson talked about that at the beginning of Advent. He will never force our will. We have to do that part. And this is what is spoken of in the preaching of St. John the Baptist. It's making the crooked way straight. Our will was crooked. It was made crooked and bent by our sin. And so our penance through the sacrament of confession, it bends the will back. It bends it the other way, pushes it the opposite direction. We could use another comparison to show the necessity of this penance that we voluntarily take on. If you tore your ACL in your knee, The other muscles and the joints, they'd all be affected by that torn ACL. And you would have surgery done to repair, and that would take care of the big problem. But afterwards, you have to go through physical therapy and exercise. You have to do something to bring your leg back to being somewhat normal. And it's similar in confession. When we go, yes, through our contrition, the guilt is removed. But then we have to do something after. We have to do something to bring our will back to as close as possible to where it should be, directed to Almighty God. So it's clear we do have a role to play in this sacrament of confession. The essential part of our satisfaction, it comes from our Lord, but we have a part to play as well. And the part we have to play, yes, the quality of and intensity of our contrition and our confession will help, it will express itself in that satisfaction. So as we know that there are two types of contrition, there's imperfect and perfect. Imperfect, we look at the sorrow that we have, we look at the punishment from sin, and because of that, we're sorry that we've committed sin. Perfect contrition, on the other hand, it arises from the fact that we've offended a good God. So we always want to strive for that more perfect form of contrition, and that then will express itself in the satisfaction, the penance that we make. And what's very interesting is the more perfect our contrition is, the more adequate our satisfaction will become. And that is because perfect contrition, it comes from charity. And charity, that love of God, it turns our will back to Him. It does that work of turning ourselves back towards God. And that's why our Lord said of St. Mary Magdalene, much is forgiven her because she has loved much. And so a very strange paradox comes from this. The more perfect our contrition, therefore the more perfect the love that we have, in fact, the less we'll need penance. And that's because that charity, it's doing the work of uniting ourselves to God. We know that if we go to confession with great charity, it will in fact remove all the temporal punishment. It can do that. So the more perfect our contrition, the less we need penance. But it's very interesting. The more perfect our contrition, and so the more perfect our charity, the more we'll desire to do penance. The more we'll want to. And that's because the true lover of our Lord, someone who really loves Him, will be heartbroken that he offended Him, and will naturally want to express his sorrow and to make up for it, to do something to fix it. So, my dear faithful, we can conclude from all of this that if we're going to confession and coming out and performing our penances with little attention, with little devotion, if we wait for a long time to say it, and when we do say it, we say it poorly, we forget to say it, then there's something very lacking in our confessions, and our penances are not adequate, and they're not bringing forth fruits worthy of penance. And St. John Vianney, he gives us some practical advice on how we can do better at that. He says first that we should say our penance kneeling. You come out of the confessional, you're in the church. If it's possible, kneel down in the church and say your penance then, on your knees. St. John Vianney is strong. He says that if we say it sitting down, if we say it walking around, he says it's as if we haven't even said it. He said you have to do it again. And you have to say in confession that you did your penance poorly. That's the first thing. He said, say it kneeling. And then he said, second of all, do it at the proper time. If the priest gives a time for you to do it then. If there's no time assigned, do it right away. If we wait to do our penance, we're going to forget. And we risk not doing it at all. It's much better to say it right away. We're in the confessional, stirring up that contrition. What better time to express our contrition by a little act of penance? And then finally, St. John says we have to do it with reverence. And by this, he means, first of all, with attention. If we say our penance full of distractions, willful distractions, we haven't said it at all. It's worthless. And then he said, secondly, we have to say it with devotion. So with confidence that God will forgive us through the merits of his Son, with joy that Almighty God is so good to us that he lets us say three Hail Marys and repair for an infinite offense against him, when it deserves, in fact, an eternal punishment. And then also saying throughout, my God, I unite the slight penance to that which Jesus Christ, my Savior, has offered to you for my sins. That's what St. John Vianney says we should say when we're doing our penance, throughout, uniting it to our Lord's sacrifice, to our Lord's satisfaction. So doing this, our little penances will have more value. They'll be more adequate. But we can't ever be satisfied with just that, my dear faithful. A soul that truly loves God, a soul truly on fire with the love of God, is going to do extra. A few Hail Marys is so small, my dear faithful. It's so small. And so we should be willing to do extra penances outside of confession to repair for our sins. Ask yourselves, do I do any voluntary penance? Do I go over and above ever? Do I give up a dessert? Do I take a cold shower? Do I deprive myself of a little sleep? Do I offer up the sufferings of the day to repair for my sins? If we're not doing that, then there's something lacking. We're not bringing forth fruit worthy of penance. If we truly love our Lord, then we'd be truly sorry for offending him, and we would want to give more and more to try and make up for what we have done to him. So in these last days of Advent, we can work on that, my dear faithful. It's a penitential season and it's not over. We can't fall into the trap of the world of starting to celebrate already. It's not time. It's still a time of penance. We have a fast day on Thursday, Christmas Eve. We have also plenty of mortifications we can offer up between now and then. Plenty of things we can give up if we would like. But really, we don't have to look very far. There are so many things during this time, stresses, anxieties, tensions with family members. There are so many things that we can offer up as penances, just trying to practice virtue, not to get upset, to keep peace of soul, to be charitable. Those are little penances that we can offer up to repair for our sins. And that's a wonderful way to prepare for Christmas, which is coming so soon. It's 5 days away. The collect today reminds us that sin is the obstacle to our Lord's coming at Christmas. So in this time, these last few days, try to prepare a good confession. And try in your confession to really express your sorrow by true penance, by doing your penance well, but then adding to it some other little penance. And in that way, we'll bring forth fruits worthy of penance. And that will the fruit will be a more intimate union with our Lord in this Christmas of 2020. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.